Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory only in the cross is the title for this morning's exhortation. The word glory sometimes in the Bible is translated as boasting. There is nothing wrong with boasting. It is not always used in the negative sense. Sometimes it can be used in the good sense, like in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 2. "For I know the frowardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal have provoked very many." Describing in the context of the church in Corinth, very generous in their giving. And so the Apostle Paul shared with them that he boasted to other churches in different provinces how wonderful the church in Corinth was in its tithe and offering in supporting God's work, not only in its own church, but also in other churches as well. So the word glory is the word boasting. But we must also admit that very often the word boasting is used in the negative sense. And because of the pride of life that is in man, we all tend to boast. We like to be one up than others. And even after we have become Christians, this pride of life continue to haunt us, continue to reside in us, even though we have the strength and the power to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But sadly and tragically, there will be times when we allow these three sins to have the better of us. And pride, according to Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preacher, is the worst of all the three. Because as a man grows older and older, his body gets weaker and weaker, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes will lose its potency and control over him. But the pride of life could still hang around very, very vibrantly and potently over our hearts. Because all we need at the end of our lives before we breathe our last breath is to think a thought that all that I have done in my life, in this church, is because of what I have done. And that will be it. The sin of pride can still cause us to transgress against God just before we breathe our last breath. How to stop or get rid of boasting, you may ask. Impossible. Impossible to get rid of boasting. Our lives are such. When we came into this world, we know nothing. We do not know how to read or write. And our entire life depends on a lot of people instructing us, teaching us, helping us, guiding us. In the olden days, they do not have schools. And so we have only a handful of people impacting us, helping us to mature and to grow. But in today's society, we have a long list of people that we can't even remember all of them. But we know that it has been a long list from kindergarten all the way through our entire study life. That's what we do. And we like to be one up. Because once we become adults, we tend to forget the many lives that have contributed to make us to be who we are. And then once we become adults, we learn a skill. We get a piece of paper telling us that we are now trained in this field or that field, and so we look for a job. Then after we get into this job, we started to accomplish things. We started to gain more things, a reputation in name, as well as in substance. There are many people who boast of how they were poor when they were growing up, and now they have become millionaires, and some even multi-millionaires or billionaires. And they are not ashamed to let everybody know. And you go into their office, you'll find all kinds of newsprint, all kinds of photographs with very important people hanging all over the walls. And of course, with their long list of paper qualifications and their accolades and awards and everything else. A display of their accomplishments. This is our life. And not enough. We must be better than our neighbor. A boastful woman was talking about her jewelry. I clean my diamonds with ammonia, she boasted. My rubies with Bordeaux wine, my emeralds with Danzig brandy. I don't know what they are, but supposed to be very expensive, I guess. And my sapphires with fresh milk. And then another woman said to her, well, I don't clean mine. When they get dirty, I just throw them away. One up, right? You clean, I don't clean, I throw them away. I get new ones. Always one up. This is, of course, from a person I do not know. Of course, I did not think of this. This is a Chinese wit and humor. This man, Chang Three, said, we have a drum at home so big that when you beat it, it can be heard 100 miles away. And then this, his neighbor, Li Four, his name, said, we have a cow in our home so big that when she takes a drink at the south bank of the river, her head reaches out and touches the north bank. Then Chang Three shook his head and exclaimed, how could there be a cow of that size? And then Li Four said, if there weren't cows of that size, where would you find the skin to make that drum? Boasting. Very natural. But the danger is when we do so in the name of Christ. That will bring it to another dimension. Because the name of Christ is a special name. When we boast in our old life before salvation, it's in the world. It's man with man. The things of this world, the material world of ours. But the name of Christ is a name that came down from heaven. The name of Christ will bring into memories what we know about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, and all that He did on earth. And so when Christians boast about their Christian accomplishments, it is very deadly and dangerous when we try to rob God of His glory. In verse 13 of this morning's exhortation, we continue with what we have studied the past few weeks of these false teachers from Jerusalem headquarters that many Jews all over the Roman Empire look up to and see them as very influential and important Jews. And they have crept into the province of Galatia and into the churches that the Apostle Paul founded during his first missionary journey some time back. And what did they do? They brought in another gospel that will not save. A gospel that sounded very good because it was also taught in the Bible. But they gave it a little twist. They say that in order for you Gentiles to complete your salvation, you have to be circumcised. You have to follow all these biblical teaching and guidelines. If you do not, your salvation in Christ, either it is insufficient, or you have none whatsoever. Either way, it was another gospel where the Apostle Paul had to deal with it very urgently that he could not even wait for an amanuensis, a secretary, to write this epistle for him. And that's why he said in verse 11, I had to write with my own hand very large letters because his eyesight could be a problem because of age, because of the many, many abuses that he had to endure because of the faith. The urgency prompted him. And then he said that some of you have succumbed because you are afraid of being persecuted. You're afraid of being scolded by these VIP Jews that you want to please. That you want them to say nice things about you, to think well of you. And therefore you have succumbed to their seduction. And so as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, you want to look well in their eyes. And you are about to accept them. And you are constrained to be circumcised. And you are afraid of their scolding, their rebuke. That's what the last part of verse 12 says. But in verse 13, the Apostle Paul revealed to us their motive. And their motive is the antithesis of this morning's message. Instead of glorying only in the cross, the Apostle Paul revealed to us in verse 13, For neither they themselves who are circumcised are able to keep the law. They are telling you to keep it. But they themselves could not do so. Why would these people tell others to do something that they know they themselves could not keep? Why? But they desire to have you circumcised so that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, they want to boast about how effective their ministry is because of your conversion. Because they have managed to make you to become their followers. They want to use you as their boast. Are there people like this? We call them playing the number game. You know what is the number game? We all know what that is because we all do it too in our own way. How many A's did you get in your studies? How much do you have? What car do you drive? What home address do you live in? And how many students are you able to bring into the ministry? When I first joined, the ministry had only 10. But now after 5 years, see how you had doubled. What about you? Your ministry? Oh, you started with 20. Now you have shrunk down to 10. The number game. Same with the congregation. The numbers that we put down here in our weekly is simply for the sake of numbers. That's it. There's nothing wrong with numbering. You see that in the Bible often. The book of Numbers is basically a list of numberings. The first numbering was referred to the group of Israelites who left Egypt. And many of them perished in the wilderness because of sin, because of unbelief. 603,548 of them. 20 years and above. And then the book also ended with a second numbering. This would be the many hundreds of thousands who were born in the wilderness. And this would be the new generation, for their fathers have died in the wilderness, and these would be the children of those who have died. And that was the second numbering telling us. This will be the generation led by Joshua who will conquer the promised land. And then the numbers will be very important. They will be used by God to apportion the people as they live in the promised land. The tribe that has the largest number will be given a larger portion. The tribe that has the fewest number will be given a smaller portion of the promised land to live in. And so there was a purpose of the numbering. It was not meant to boast about how big the nation was. And there is nothing wrong with numbering. But it is how you and I look at it. That's the problem. And in this context of Galatians 6, what did they do? Were they really concerned about the salvation? Were they really concerned about the Christians in the churches in the province of Galatia? No. They were concerned about themselves. They were using them in order to inflate their pride and their abilities and their boasting. Their own glory. That's the antithesis. This is something that we have to be wary of. Using Christian doctrine and teaching, hiding behind a very noble facade of spirituality. And then we deceive people in the name of Christ, in the name of ministry, and sometimes even in the name of helping you. They did this at the expense of damaging and destroying the gospel. That's what they did. A very deadly game they were playing, destroying lives. And that's why the Apostle Paul was very, very upset and urgent in reaching out to them to stop these false teachers who have already infiltrated because of Paul's absence. And Paul was extremely concerned. And we have to be very mindful not to become the pawns of false teachers. The number game has not died. I'm sure you know this. Mega churches. The number game continues. Which church is the largest? People love large numbers. That's the pride of man. And we all have this tendency too. Whatever we touch, we want everything to turn to gold. That's our heart saying. That's what the man always wants. That has been drummed into us. That is part of our own nature. To do well. To live well. To look back on our lives. The list of accomplishments. And sometimes we want even to be remembered after we are gone by foundations, by monuments, by many things that we hope that after we are gone, at least we can say, I was here. Right? You ever heard of the phrase that people scratch all kinds of things onto the wall, graffiti? I was here. So and so was here. I was here. I was here on this earth for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. Boasting. The antithesis of glory only in the cross would be man glorying in self, and you and I become the pawns of their glory. And that was what they did, and Paul exposed them. They desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. We find such people in the world time and time again. They go to school. Many principals will use the accomplishment of the students in order to climb to the next level in their career. This principal is very good. Look at the high percentage of students who did well in A-level, O-level, PSLE, Primary 6 School Leaving Exam. Very important for their career. And so some of them will try to manipulate. Oh, these subjects will not be offered because very hard to score. These subjects will be very good. Good for whom? Good for the students? No, good for certain individuals. Making use of people for their own glory. Companies do it. Almost everyone out there in the world do it. But we expect that, do we not? Isn't that the way of sinful man, sinful nature? Taking advantage of others in order for our own personal gain, whether it's in substance or in pride and boasting in glory. But when it comes to the church, it is 1,000 times worse because we're talking about eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And these false teachers do not bother, do not care that their false gospel will lead many to hell. And they did so in the name of the glory of God, I'm sure, because they were very, very important Jews, God's people. God's people, the Jews from the Old Testament, they have rejected Christ, but they still want to hang on to the salvation by good works principle. And we have similar situation in the New Testament church. Instead of circumcision, they will teach baptism. Water baptism has replaced circumcision as a sacrament for the New Testament church witness. And so now, instead of using circumcision in the church context, it will be completely ineffective, impotent in deceiving anyone. So the devil will not use that. But the devil used circumcision in the early church, when the New Testament scriptures was in the process of completion of writing. And at this point in time in Galatia, almost perhaps two-thirds to three-quarter portions of the New Testament have not been written yet. And so it was so easy to deceive them because they do not have the New Testament scriptures to appeal to turn to for clearer instruction. And so Paul urgently had to write this epistle to neutralize and to stop the danger and the damage that these false people of God had started to sow their seeds of destruction into the hearts and minds of the Christians and the lives of those who attend these churches in the province of Galatia. Some churches teach that in order for your salvation to be completed, believing in Christ is good but not enough. Baptismal regeneration is one of their teachings. Roman Catholicism teaches that. And there are some other churches who teach that as well. CCC, Central Christian Church in Singapore, I've read their material. Baptismal regeneration. Be very careful. Be very careful that when people use Christianity, use the name of Christ for their own personal gain and glory. And you and I are just simply pawns and tools in their evil, evil desire to boast how good and how great they are. Look at how many followers I have. Who made you? You are what you are. Because of whom? That is the question. And so the Apostle Paul answered the question in verse 14 and verse 15. Telling us that it is impossible for us not to boast. Actually, we should boast. Because we are who we are because of so many people in our lives. But the most important person in our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. But God forbid that I should glory. He did not say that he should not glory at all. He said that God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. He did not say you and I cannot boast or glory. He says that I will glory, but not about myself. Especially when it comes to his Christian works. And he did a lot for the sake of Christ. Imagine a man like the Apostle Paul in the first century with no modern mode of transportation, but with Pax Romana throughout the Roman Empire, the Peace of Rome that will protect especially a Roman citizen like the Apostle Paul, enabling him using the old mode of transportation, either on asses or donkey or on foot or through sailboats. He was able to bring the gospel, one man, all the way to Rome. If there was one Christian who could really boast of all that he had done for the Lord, it would be the great Apostle Paul. And yet he said, if I want to glory, I will only glory about my infirmities. He did share that later on in 2 Corinthians. Did he suffer for Christ? Can't even imagine the kind of suffering he had to endure for Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians, please. Let us have a glimpse of what the Apostle Paul had to endure. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 16. If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me that I may boast myself a little. Because his apostleship was under great attack, assault. And he was very concerned that if the enemies that have crept into the church in Corinth had succeeded in saying and convincing the Christians in Corinth that Paul was not actually a legitimate apostle, what it means was that his gospel will be cast aside, all his teachings, his epistles would also be thrown into the dustbin. And so he was not defending his apostleship for personal pride or glory. He was defending it in order to promote Christ, to help the Christians not to throw away the truth, but to hold on to the truth at all costs and to stand up against the false teachers who tried to attack the Bible, they failed, attack the doctrine, they failed. Why don't we attack the man? And that's what they did. Attack the man, and hopefully the people will be foolish enough to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that's why in the conclusion of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, just in case I do not manage to convince you of the authenticity of my apostleship, you cannot do anything against the truth but be for the truth. You want to reject the messenger? Fine. But please don't reject the message. You cannot do anything against the truth but be for the truth. It's about Christ. You want to throw me out? You want to reject my apostleship? Paul says, fine. But don't throw away the gospel that I shared with you that you have already believed in and accepted. Don't throw away the many teachings that I have shown you and taught you, especially those mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Don't throw them away, even if you want to throw me out of your life. And what did Paul do in order to establish his credentials as a legitimate apostle? He says in verse 17, That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, in order to do it for your sake and for the glory of God. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wheresoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool now. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, except one, that is 39 stripes, 5 times. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside those things that are outside, that are without my body, physical, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. He had much to glory, and yet he says, I only did so as a fool, because you Christians in Corinth do not seem to understand, except I come down to your level to talk about all that I had to endure and suffer for Jesus Christ in order for you to have the gospel. Why would I endure all these sufferings if the gospel is not true? Paul did not know anyone in Corinth when he arrived to give them the gospel. He was sent there by Christ, and he went. And at times, on many occasions, he knew that there would be persecution awaiting him. But he went nevertheless, because that's where the Lord sent him. And so he says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we know from other portions of the Bible that we are supposed to glorify Christ. But here in this context, the Apostle Paul did not say Christ, the person. He highlighted the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the difference? You see, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ basically emphasizes his service, his ministry, his work. His work of salvation in particular. All that Jesus Christ did, he did so much. But in this context, because of the false gospel that these false teachers have successfully infiltrated into the churches in this part of Galatia. And so Paul says, if I want to boast, this is the only thing that is worthy of boasting, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul says, I'm going to boast and tell everybody about it. In contrast to these false teachers who pretend to tell you about the work of God, but in reality, they want you to become pawns in their boasting. Paul says, I only want to boast about what Jesus Christ did for me in my life. That's what the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ means. I am nothing. I was a sinner. All the human accolades and accomplishments that Apostle Paul had done in his life, he shared, they are all dung, worthless, useless. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ that I am who I am now. He was an apostle because of Christ. He was a child of God because of Christ. He was a servant, a slave because of Christ. He was everything because of Christ. And without Christ, he acknowledged and admitted that he would be nothing. And that's what it means, except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ has done in your life and in my life should be the only thing that we must glory in, that we must boast about and tell the whole world. when they look at your life, when they look at you as a student in school and you are doing very well, give them the truth. And what is the truth? It is because of Christ. Because of what Christ has done in my life, I'm able to do well. Because of Jesus Christ, I am who I am. I am diligent because of Christ. I have my IQ because of Christ. I'm able to remember because of Christ. I'm able to do well because of Christ. Sure, I thank God for all my teachers, but as far as telling them how grateful you are, by all means. But the true person who made you to be who you are would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul wanted to boast only. Nothing else, not Paul and Christ. Only the cross of Christ. Without Christ going to the cross, Paul knew that everything that I accomplish on earth would be filthy rags in the sight of God. Even though they might be Christian things, because Paul really thought what he did was Christian, helping God when he persecuted Christians. He thought that he was doing God a big favor. He was defending God's honor. Because who was this Christian? Who was this Christ? They're trying to rob the glory away from God until Jesus met him and said, "Why persecutest thou me?" You are not doing God a favor. You are basically undermining the work of God in Christ. And from that day onwards, the Apostle Paul was born again. That was the beginning of his wonderful transforming power of the experience of the cross of Christ in his life. And from that point onwards, he wanted to only boast about Jesus Christ and never himself. And all the accomplishments that the Lord did through him, it's always Christ. Is it not because of Christ that we are able to serve him in all capacities? To play the piano in a way that can help God's people focus on Christ when we sing hymns? Is it not because of Christ that we're able to serve him in all our fellowships? Is it not because of Christ that we're able to have our jobs? God was the one who has given you health and life. God was the one who has enabled you to enter into this office and company. God was the one who did everything because of Christ. You are now a child of God because of the cross of Christ, what Jesus Christ has done in your life. We thank God for all the many people. Sure, that's gratitude. And we should encourage them sincerely. Not flattery. But at the end of it all, ultimately, we are what we are today. Truly. Because of the cross of Christ. If Christ did not come down from heaven to die on the cross for us, there'll be no human being in heaven. We all know that we all deserve to end up in hell because of the many, many sins that we have committed against God. From idolatry to all the sins that we committed against one another, which is also a transgression against God. Because God says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." We did. "Thou shalt not steal." We have stolen from God and from man. And when we steal from man, we have also sinned against God. Don't forget that. It's a double sin. We covered a secret sin. And yet God says, "It's not secret to me. It is also a sin against me." When you covered someone's belongings, manservant, maidservant, and everything else, his wife, his children, property, everything. The moment you covered, you have sinned against God, even though no man had been affected. But God has. And yet God says, in Christ Jesus, all these have been washed away. All the sins that you have committed against me washed away. I look at you now in Christ as if you have never broken a single of my 10 commandments. That's what it means. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful reason to give God all the glory? That we are now delivered from hell and from death. We are now on our way to heaven because of Christ. So what exactly is there for us to boast about? Unless it is about the cross of Christ. And to do that, Paul says, "I am unto the world crucified, and the world is crucified unto me." That's how he succeeded. That's how he did it every day. What does it mean? "By whom the world is crucified unto me." That means when Paul looked at the world, he saw the world as someone looks at a person who is crucified on the cross. What do you How does a person view a person hanging on the cross in those days, in the days of the Roman Empire? A criminal? As a place that I don't want to be in? As a place that I hated? As a place that I shunned away from, right? Who wants to hang on the cross? Nobody. So he says that the world, by whom the world is crucified unto me. So when I look at the world, it's as if I look at someone on the cross. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to shun it. I despise it. You want to go to the cross? Nobody would. And then from the world, when they look at me, I don't want the world to praise me. Right? And I unto the world. That means as far as my life is concerned, I want the world to look at me like someone look at crucifixion. That means I don't seek after man's praise. I don't seek after the world's glory. I don't seek anything from the world. And if the world hates me because of my holiness and my glory for the Lord, that is to be expected. That's why the teaching from the New Testament is very clear for us Gentiles. Not only are we called to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Why? Because they persecuted Jesus Christ first, and the more you are like Christ in this world, don't be surprised when they persecute you as a follow-up. Because the world has not changed. In fact, the world has gotten worse. The world put Jesus Christ to the death because the God of this world was the one who did it all. This is a world of sin and evil and wickedness and darkness, spiritual darkness. They put Jesus Christ to the cross. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the more you and I are like Christ in the same world that Jesus Christ witnessed in when He walked on earth, why should they treat us differently? The world has not changed. Sure, in heaven, the more you are like Christ, the more welcome you would be. Because in heaven, everybody is supposed to be like Christ. But on this world, in this world of ours, that we are living in right here and now, serving in, it is not a Christian world. It is a world of great sin and darkness where truth is rejected, lies are presented as truth, and sin is promoted, and holiness and truthfulness and righteousness, they are all despised. And that is why Paul says, my perspective of the world is like someone looking at crucifixion. And I want the world to see my life in the same light, crucified. They should not like my life. They should hate my life. Sure, those who are going to be convicted and converted, praise the Lord. If you think the rest of them who do not want the love of God in Christ, you think they're going to supposed to like you? They're not supposed to. You think Pharaoh liked Joseph the dreamer because of Jehovah? He liked Joseph the dreamer because Joseph was very useful in the economy of Egypt. You think Nebuchadnezzar, before his salvation, you think he loved Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because of Jehovah? No, because of the wisdom that they could not do without. Do not seek the accolades of the world. Do not live your life hoping that the world will recognize you. The fame and fortune of the world must never, never be longed for by God's people. If you study hard and work hard because you want the awards and the accolades of the world, we are in serious trouble. We are in serious trouble. Because now we are not going to glory only in the cross of Christ. We are going to glory in self, and rest assured there will be many others who is going to use you as their pawn for their glory, just like these false teachers, that they may glory in your flesh. Don't let them do that to you. You are a child of God. The only one who should look at us and point at us and glory and take pride in us is God Himself, is the Lord Jesus Himself, because we are His children in holiness. Don't let the devil look at you and say that about you. Because he put Jesus Christ to the death, to the cross, he should not praise us unless we are like the world. That was how the Apostle Paul ensured that if he were to glory, and it will only be in the cross of Christ, and to succeed in doing that, he had to see the world as someone look at crucifixion. And he wanted to live a life whereby the world will look at him as someone who will look at crucifixion. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Nobody wants to be crucified. It is a place of great pain and torment and sin and humiliation. And that's how Paul looked at the world. And we must learn to look at this world more and more often. More and more frequent. Because as long as we do not, the attractions of the world will continue to lure us and pull us. Because don't forget, this body of ours that the Lord has given to us to serve Him in is still made of the same material of the world that the devil uses to lure us, to seduce us. Right? The material of our entire building, our home, is made with the same material that made this body. And that's why we are very comfortable in that. Right? We are made out of the dust of the ground. And so, everything around us made out of the dust of this ground. And since this earthen vessel is still very much attracted to this earth, the only way that this attraction will weaken in its pull is that we draw closer to Christ. And we look at the world that the Apostle Paul wanted to reveal to us how he did and succeeded, so that he will only boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and not in anything that he did in this earthen vessel. See the world as crucified to you, and you to the world as well, so that you will not long for any recognition of the world. And if they come, you beware. If they do not come, thank God. But if they do come, your pride is now awakened. You are now being recognized. Now, how are you going to deal with that recognition? Now, that is going to be a big challenge. When he was not there, very happy, very easy, right? But once you get recognized, and people heap upon you a lot of wonderful adjectives that you have never even heard of before to describe how great you are, the pride will begin to rise up. Your head will begin to swell, as they say. And then you walk around because of the recognition of all the tremendous good things that you may have done. Yeah, I'm not that bad after all. Yeah, I'm a good person. Yeah, I'm so clever. That's the danger. And in order to stop this, Paul says, the world is crucified to you. Nothing that the world has that I desire, in fact, I despise. Is that not what the Lord told us concerning material things? Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one or hate the other, or hold on to the one and despise the other. No man can love God and mammon, period. Matthew 6:24. You're going to despise and hold on to Christ. Hold on to the cross of Christ and despise the world. That's what Paul meant. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:24. You love God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and you hate what the world offers you. Because if moment you don't, there is no halfway. It's either this passionate holding on to Christ and loving Christ, and then despise the world and hate the world. You cannot have both. No man, God says, no man means no man. You choose Christ or mammon. Christ or mammon. And Paul gave us the reason why. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Do all these so-called Christian activities, do all these Christian sacraments bring salvation? No, only Christ can. Circumcision is important. Not that it's not important. It was given by God, ordained by God. Water baptism is important. Please do not think that just because baptism does not save you, it is redundant, it is not important. It is a very important part of the believer's life. Remember the Great Commission, we call it, in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Go ye therefore and teach them, and then baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And then teach them all things that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Baptism is the first sign of obedience as an evidence of a person's confession and salvation. Now, we do not know when a person is truly born again. And therefore, we cannot accord to that person any Christian benefits as long as he does not go through the sacrament of baptism. And that is why we tell people, if you are not baptized, don't take the Lord's Supper. We cannot afford you this Christian benefit because the Bible said so. And that is why in our Constitution, if you have not publicly confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior in water baptism, we cannot accord you the Christian blessing of marriage. That Christian benefit will have to be withheld. Why? Because you have not publicly confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. How can you expect God to publicly bless you in your Christian wedding when you have not publicly confessed to your loved ones that you are now a disciple of Christ, a child of God, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? They are very important. Paul is not saying circumcision is not important, but these false teachers use circumcision as a way of salvation, salvation by Christian good works, like some churches are doing today. We have to beware of them because a person becomes a new creature, born again believer, never existed before. Only in Jesus Christ can a person be born again. That's how important Christ is. And that's why you and I must only glory in the cross of Christ so that by your life, you must know how important you are to Christ. Christ completed his work. He's now seated at God's right hand. But he tells us that as long as I'm in the world, I remain the light of the world to point people to God and to save them from sin, death, and hell. But Christ is seated at God's right hand. And so where is Christ? Christ is in all of us. We are to be a witness for Christ. We are supposed to be the mouth of Christ. That means when we speak, they should hear the words of Christ. When they look at your deeds, your hands, what you do, they should see Christ's deeds. Where you go to, they should only see Christ. Your dressing, everything about us, they're supposed to see holiness, godliness, and righteousness according to the scriptures. That's why Jesus says, salvation is still readily available to this whole world. Because I'm still in the world, and therefore I'm still the light of the world. Through whom? Through all of you. All Christians in school, at work, in church, at home, everywhere you go, no exception. That's why it is so important for us to glory only in the cross of Christ, because God can still use us with the sharing of the gospel, and we are the walking transformation and evidence of the power of the gospel to bring salvation to many who are still dying in sin in these last days. That's why Paul says, I will glory only in the cross of Christ, because only in the cross of Christ can a sinner be saved. Not by circumcision, not by water baptism. These things are important only after salvation, as evidence of salvation, but they cannot be the means of salvation, which was what the false teachers did. And that's why Paul says, and we all must say with him, look at me, and you will see Christ. He will only boast about Christ and all that Christ has done in his life. When Christ came down to die on the cross for his sin, and God accepted what he has done for him by raising him from the dead for his justification, and now all who are in Christ is now transformed by the power of God, with the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And now you can tell everyone, boast to them, how wonderful the Savior is, and you are the product of this wonderful salvation that God has done on this earth and in your life, and they can also experience the same. If only they would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will also experience the joy, the holiness, and the godliness that is found in all who are God's children. That's why Paul says, glory only in the cross of Christ. We will all boast. We should boast. We should never stop boasting. It's not possible. But who are we boasting? Ourselves? Don't become a pawn in other person's boasting. They want to make use of you. Don't let them. Because that's what they try to do. That they may glory in your flesh. But Paul says, we are God's children. Let us all encourage one another. and glory only in the cross of Christ. For He alone is worthy. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for this wonderful life that You have given to us in Christ Jesus. A life that is full and rich in our relationship with Thee, in prayer, in the study and understanding of Thy Holy Word, and to live a life that we know that is characterized by holiness and godliness and righteousness according to the Scriptures, because of the indwelling of the Spirit of God who has been leading us, guiding us, filling us, helping us, encouraging us, giving us the strength and the power and the understanding to obey Thy Holy Word and to do so for Thy glory, so that everywhere we go and we speak, they will hear the words of Christ. And when we live by our good works, they will see Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven. Send us forth, O Lord, truly, to live only for Christ and to tell the world how wonderful a Savior that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they too can know Him as their wonderful Savior. For we are the walking, living testimonies of the great work of salvation that You have wrought in our hearts. Teach us therefore daily to glory only in the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is our heart's cry and our heart's desire all the days of our lives until the Lord Jesus returns. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.